This is the Friday, December 1st, 2017 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. A lagging export market and weather fluctuations kept market swings in check. For the week, March wheat improved 4 cents, while the nearby corn contract also gained 4 cents. A reduction in biodiesel mandates from the EPA stifled the soy complex as the January soybean contract added a penny. January meal increased $4.30 per ton. March cotton expanded $1.35 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, December Class 3 milk futures soured 12 cents. The livestock complex was mixed as the February cattle contract declined 260 and nearby feeders weakened 297. The February lean hog contract moved higher by $1.33. The U.S. dollar index improved 13 points. The January crude oil rally ran out of steam, dropping 59 cents per barrel. COMEX gold melted $9.50 per ounce, and the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index shed a point to close at 429.30. Here now to lend us her insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Sue Martin. Sue, welcome back.
Thank you, Mike.
We are glad to have you. And in case you want to go over things again, you can download or listen to our Market Analysis and Market Plus podcasts anytime online at iptv.org/MTOM. Sue, we've got to jump into this wheat market first, get it out of the way. New contract low this week. What does that tell you as we head into the month of December?
Well, we did have a new contract low, and I think we may have turned around and closed higher for the week or very close to it if we did not. Corn did too. I think that we're heading into the month here. You've got concerns about very dry conditions starting to form in the southwest and through the plains, and then now talk of bitterly cold temps to impact us through December, especially the last half of December. So we'll see what happens, because with this warmer than normal weather, wheat has emerged, and so, you know, but yet it's like a cat with nine lives. It's hard to kill, but it doesn't do it any good. So you have that, and the one thing we have is on global supplies. You know, we do have a record amount of global supplies. We know that. So, you know, what prices are so cheap, you have a huge short fund position, and I think some of that started to come out of the market a little bit, and you're having heavy deliveries, which is expected. But at the end of the day, these funds might do some short covering into the end of the year just to capture their bonuses and their money.
Right.
And then we'll see what happens after the turn of the year. But also we have to keep an eye on South American weather. Argentina is going to have some weather issues here, I think. And so we just, you know, there's a lot of little things percolating. But we know that the wheat needs to have help. And
okay.
We'll see.
Maybe the bad news is in, we
well,
think,
and,
on the
and another
market.
Thing that hurt us, I think, was, the, of course, the extended period of exports out of Russia, out of the Black Sea. Their weather was milder than normal, so it kept those waterways open longer. And then with huge crops this year, you know, last year they were kind of hurt. This year they came back roaring. So they had plenty of supplies to export. And that's kind of been competitive. But now we're turning a little more competitive.
Okay. Now, we've got a lot of questions for you, Sue Martin, from our
Good.
Followers on social media. We encourage all of you to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just search for Market to Market. Unfortunately, we only have time for one. So I'm going to turn to the Ag Fix in Dakota Dunes, South Dakota. And he wants to know, or he notes, it kind of feels like the herd is getting really bearish on the grains. And you mentioned we did have record short in the wheat market. Do you agree with that, this herd mentality of bearish shortness, especially as we talk about corn?
Very much I agree with him. I think that, you know, there's that saying, when everybody's running, you should walk, and when everybody's walking, you should run. And I believe that we've been, well, first off, this is such an old bear market. You know, from the high of 2012, now we're heading into year seven. And, you know, I take cluster years, and I take when you have growing stocks mm-hmm. in corn and commingle that with growing wheat stocks in the U.S. and globally. And then a growing foreign production deficit, meaning the rest of the world doesn't produce enough. How needy are they? You know, it lets us kind of have an idea of how much we're going to be in the export market. And there's a record need for corn. So, and you look at corn, and stocks have declined this year. I think we're down, production's down, I want to say around 10%. I think we're down 22 million metric tons, something like that.
Okay.
So, you know, you are heading in the right direction, but then you got this little nemesis of wheat out there. And I have to say, there is a large amount of feed wheat in the world. So that could kind of haunt us a little bit. But I have to tell you, a year of an eight usually tends to be a little better.
Okay.
And usually after a cluster year of a five or a six, you start seeing prices move higher. Last year, we put our low in. And I hate to say this because I think Twitter will come alive, but the 84-year cycle low was hit on corn last year on August 31st with the September contract at 301. Mm-hmm. This year, we've played inside the range of last year. We haven't made a higher high, and we haven't taken out the low. And ironically, this year, the September contract again on August 31st put our low in thus far for elite contract. I had thought possibly the Ds would come down and make a lower low here than that September low. Just tag it by ever so little.
Yeah.
There's a wave five count on Ds corn, and that would then have turned us. Wave fives are extremely rare, though. We do have a wave three at 334, and we got to, on a major scale, and we got down to 335 and three quarters
yeah.
this week. So, and then we turned. Like wheat, we have a huge wheat or a short position in corn, and that's creating some, I think, short covering.
Okay.
You know, I think it was on Wednesday we had 51,000 contracts of open interest drop.
Yeah.
That was huge. I think that we're going to see some short covering here. There's seasonals as well, where you buy corn on December 2nd and turn around and hold it till December 14th. And what's interesting is that's there's a seasonal on cattle sort of similar, but going down and corn going up. But have you noticed we're into some old-fashioned seasonal tendencies here where corn on days when it seems to start to percolate and bounce, cattle seem to get sold.
Yep, it makes a lot of sense. So you think as we get into the end of the year, we could see some of those shorts get out of the market and might see a little bit of a rally?
I think so. And
okay.
I also think that we have to look at South America, Argentina. Well, they used to be number two, and if they aren't, they aren't far behind
yeah.
that. And I think that when we look at Argentina, it's been a while since they've had a drought. And I think they're facing a pretty tough December here. And as we head down towards the latter half of December and wind towards the turn of the year, they're going to start getting closer towards that pollination period. And then you've got southern Brazil, very southern Brazil, also in the same boat. And it sounds like their weather's really going to start to heat up and they're going to become very dry.
And as we talk about soybeans, I mean, that's the story. We do have this potential of a drought pocket developing in Brazil.
Yes.
Sue, can we get a front month contract in soybeans back above $10 here before January 1?
I think you'll be close, but if you've noticed, every time we get January's up there, the market catches selling. But if you look at a chart, we're forming a pennant formation, and we're getting really tight in that pennant. And so to me, and even wheat or corn's kind of forming a little bit of a wedge
okay.
With a little bit of a downward slope. So, but when I look at the beans, here's what you've got to see this year. Again, inside range for beans. And so we didn't take out last year's low, and we haven't taken out last year's high. I think there's promise. The crush is very good in China. Almost record high.
Mm-hmm.
And their demand is huge. In the meantime, and also that I should have talked more about that on corn. Maybe we can in
We certainly will in the Market Plus. You bet.
But basically, when I look at the soybean market, we need to see the Jan contract close over 997 on the last day of December.
Okay.
And we need to see March corn close over 351 on the last day of December. Doing that, you'll have an inside range year closing higher.
All right. Well, now let's jump into the livestock market. We saw cattle take it on the chin a little bit this week. Live cattle jumped back. How seasonal is that for the first week after Thanksgiving to see a pullback?
Well, it is pretty seasonal. In fact, there's this seasonal, I think 15 out of the last 15 years they talk about. Now, granted, that's no guarantee. We got to get that little disclaimer
mm-hmm.
in there. But 15 out of the last 15 years, the market has tended to sell on the 27th of November, which this year was a nice rally day. And then you turn around and you buy it back around either the 9th or the 11th of December. Well, we've had some moves in here. We've had a 50% retracement in the feeders in the January. And that also, and even in the fats, February fats
yeah.
as well. But we were also banging against 18, 20-day moving averages along with that 50% retracement. And then the product started softening. And from what we were hearing, there was talk that Packers were just unloading meat today, even though they went out and paid $3 higher this week for cattle. Okay. On late Thursday into today. Now, that seems kind of strange to me. It would be easy to be really bearish, really easy. However, I struggle getting too negative. Now, I think we'll come in here on Monday and we'll probably make a lower low than we did, because why? You had an outside range November, higher high, lower low than October. And we'll probably come in and try to take the low of November out, which should be not too tough.
115 in change on the live.
Yeah, and on the Jan feeders, 148 something.
Okay.
So, and then there's technicians that will say, oh, but you got a head and shoulders top here. That's going to push you down to around 146, 144 on the feeders. Maybe. However, I have indicators that I absolutely love on cattle, and they're very consistent on cattle. And those, you know, the inner days, the 180s, were just wound for sound. They were flatlined at 99%. I have three indicators I watch. They all have to be together, and they were just overdone. So I knew we had to be careful, but I wouldn't have guessed that we would have as hard of a whoosh as we got. But you have funds heavy long. Are they going to liquidate before the end of the year? They might.
Okay.
But on the same token, if you look at meat sales are huge. They're record large already into next year. So that means they're going to be buying cattle. But when I looked at my indicators, the 180 went into good correction today.
Okay.
It's not done yet, but I do have cycle timing on Monday, and we're breaking hard into it. That should put a low in.
Okay. Well, now let's talk hogs. We've got the hog market up a little bit on the week against the cattle market. As we get to the end of this world, the end of this year, excuse me, Sue, more strength do you think we can find in this hog market?
Well, you know, the hog market is, it looks like we backed up hogs a little bit through the holiday and what have you, and weights are up. We all know that. And we know that we have a lot of product, you know, not only in beef, but in pork and poultry. But I look at the hog market, and I'm wondering if we aren't going to see a chance for this hog. You know, cash is up around 58. Yeah. Now, here's the deal. Futures where they are, around 65 or whatever, and cash at 58.85 or whatever, those two have to come together by the time you get into the 14th of December. So is the cash going up or is the futures coming down? Well, if you were to annihilate the cattle market, I suppose you would bring them down. But I'm kind of thinking you're going to see the cash try to hold here and push a little better.
All right. Well, Sue Martin, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market. However, we will keep the conversation going, including answering more of your questions during Market Plus, which is available in podcast and video form on our website. And speaking of podcasts, we now have three different offerings for you to download and rate. Check out M2M, a peek behind the scenes of this program from the analysts and producers, as well as extended conversations with newsmakers in the world of agriculture. Join us again next week as we examine pricing information gaps plaguing some livestock producers. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.